Friday means Mike and Molson becomes the Man Cave. I don't know what difference it makes at this point.
Yeah, anymore. Sure. And just, Man Cave just becomes a Mike and Molson production,
just
maybe?
Just a good excuse to play the song.
Yeah, I think so. Gotta find a woman. Gotta find a
woman. Gotta find a woman. But as we go into the weekend, we want to take a look at some of the movies that are coming out this weekend. Eric Davis from Fandango joins us this morning. Eric, you have had a busy couple of weeks, sir.
I have. Yes, I was at the Toronto International Film Festival for about 6-7 days.
Wow, it's a long one. I didn't realize.
Yeah, so about 20 movies.
I was going to say, there has been a ton. I kind of, you know, follow along and everything with your adventures. And, man, there were so many movies that they were showing there. Some of them of the higher, you know, blockbuster category. I was surprised they showed the Deepwater Horizon, which got excellent reviews. But there's a lot of, like, smaller movies there. What were some of your favorites that you saw while you were there?
Well, my favorite was probably this movie called La La Land.
Ooh, yeah.
And if you remember the film Whiplash, starring Miles Teller, J.K. Simmons, it was in the Oscar hunt a couple of years ago. This is that director's follow-up movie. Once again, deals with the magic of jazz, which I actually told him in person. I said, I can't believe somebody let you make two movies in a row now about why jazz is so great. But yeah, this is like a movie musical, sort of feels like a throwback to the old musicals of the 50s. Stars Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling as like a struggling actress and a jazz pianist who fall in love and then sort of find complications as one of them becomes more popular than the other one once somebody finds more success in the other one. Just great musical numbers. A lot of them feel like they're all in one take. Really just charming, wonderful movie. Even though it feels like a throwback, it's still set in contemporary times, and everybody just went bazonkers for this movie.
Yeah, and I know
it looks so wonderfully different from everything else. I mean, just the writing, the approach, the everything is different, and that's what makes it so compelling.
And Emma Stone sings all her own songs, right? There's no like voice double. She's the one doing all the singing in the songs, correct?
Yeah. Everybody does their own stuff, and it's just really charming and sweet. And I think it plays right to what Oscar voters want. So I there's no way this is not nominated for several Oscars.
Wow.
Yeah, I even think it'll be a front runner for Best Picture.
Wow.
Unless something else just comes and just floors everyone. But this is just universally beloved by everyone that saw it. I was at the premiere, got a major standing ovation.
What's the timeline? What's the timeline for it to come into?
Yeah, early December that one arrives. A lot of these films, November, December, a couple other ones that I saw, a film called Moonlight I thought was really good. Film called Arrival, sci-fi movie.
Oh yeah, I've heard.
Amy Adams and Jeremy Renner. Yeah, that one was very good as well. And there was this film called Jackie, starring Natalie Portman.
Yes.
As Jackie Kennedy, that I think that was the best performance that I saw there. Just floors you. It takes place in the minutes and hours and days right after the assassination.
No kidding! Wow.
Kennedy. And it's more of a movie of a series of moments than it is anything that's driven forward by a specific plot. But it kind of goes back and forth. They use this interview that she gave a week after the assassination as the framework around the movie. And yeah, some of those moments, especially the moments right after he is shot, they are with her in the car to the hospital in the plane, and Portman is just incredible.
No kidding. That's
incredible.
Wow,
well, that's awesome here, kind of a return for her. I mean, she's been Black Swan obviously was a big thing for her, but then she kind of got muddied in that the Thor stuff going on. But good to see her getting a nice return for a big starring role.
Exactly. Yeah, Black Swan was really the last time she was in I think a spotlight at that
right.
She's going to be in with this film. I think she is going to be right up there. You know, I think the big story coming out of Toronto was just the incredible amount of great female performances, not just from Natalie Portman, but from Emma Stone in La La Land, from Lupita Nyong'o in Queen of Katwe, which I really liked, to Amy Adams in Arrival. Amy Adams actually had two movies there, Arrival and Nocturnal Animals. Just a lot of really great, even Rachel Weisz in Denial. I thought she was really great in that film. So just every film that I saw just had these great female performances.
where we're visiting with Eric Davis, managing editor at Fandango.com on News Talk 94.7 and 970 WMAY.
Well, on the topic of female performances, I don't know if it's of that caliber, but one of the big movies coming out this weekend. Once again, it seems like a sequel that's a little late in getting around to it, but another Bridget Jones movie comes our way.
Yes, yes. We have a couple of sequels actually out this weekend. Bridget Jones' Baby is one of them. And yeah, this is another sequel to Bridget Jones. You know, a lot of critics really like this one. I think it's great that we have this rom-com of about a middle-aged woman who's dealing with issues in the workplace. And Renee Zellweger, I think, is really good. I think it's charming. It's sweet. If you're looking for a romantic comedy about someone who's middle-aged, which we don't really see that much, I think it's good. And critics really like it. So I would say good ladies' night out movie. Especially if you're a fan of the Bridget Jones series.
It's a neat way for Zellweger to make her more or less comeback here in the role that we know her for and now later in life.
Exactly, yeah. I think she's really good in it, too.
Now, Blair Witch, is that a sequel or is this a relaunch of the series? Or I'm kind of confused exactly where they're going with this one from the previews I've seen.
It's a little bit of both, actually.
Okay.
I think technically it is a sequel. You know, it does pick up several years after the first one, and they go back. If you remember, the girl in the first one was named Heather Donahue, and Heather's brother and his friends go back into the woods to try to figure out what happened. But this time, they're armed to the gill with technology. You know, they have GPS, they have drones, they have cell phones, and you know, back then when the original came out, all they had was this camcorder.
Yeah.
So that's why I do think it is clever that they're doing a sequel now. And they do expand the mythology in ways, I think, that are really fun, especially if you're a fan of the first one. But I do have to say, if you do not like that original Blair Witch movie, if that was not your cup of tea, you're not going to like this one. It's not one of those where it's like, oh, I'll give the sequel a shot even though I didn't like the one. No, you're not going to like it.
Okay. Have they maintained the self-shot documentary style?
Yeah. Okay. It is shaky cam, the found footage stuff. It's, you know, they follow some of the similar beats from the first one, but then they expand that mythology, like I said. So the story is a little bit different. And so even though you're seeing some of the familiar stuff that they saw in the first one, they give you a different spin of it and a different way to look at it. That's what I liked about it. The last 20 minutes is hold on. My heart was racing.
Cool. Excellent. And speaking of Academy Award nominations, we've heard a lot of people talking about Joseph Gordon-Levitt in Snowden. Is that something that's going to get him some nominations, this portrayal?
You know, maybe. I'll be honest with you. This is not – I have not seen any male performances that have just knocked me out of my socks this year so far. So this is a year where a Joseph Gordon-Levitt can sneak in there for Snowden, a Tom Hanks could sneak in there for Sully, even if their performances, in my opinion, do not compare to some of the female performances that we're seeing right now. But, you know, it is still early in the season, and we still have a lot coming out. I do think Snowden's a decent movie. You know, there was a documentary called Citizen 4, won the Oscar, that just blew me away. And if you've seen that and you love that, I don't know how much more you're going to learn from Snowden movie. If you have not seen that documentary, then by all means, Snowden is a good movie, and it really kind of delves deeper into the story of Edward Snowden and helps you see the framework sort of around the decisions that he made. You know, I think a lot of people just know this guy. He's a traitor. He leaked all this stuff.
Yeah, right.
I think it's good to kind of inform yourself and know his entire story, and that's why I think, you know, we have these three movies out this month, this Sully, Snowden, Deepwater Horizon, all ripped from the headlines, all good movies. In my opinion, the Deepwater Horizon is the best one. That comes out in a couple of weeks. That's a really good, and that follows the story of the men and women who were on that oil rig, which was called the Deepwater Horizon, when it exploded off the coast of Louisiana, led to the biggest oil spill in U.S. history. 11 people died on that rig. I don't think a lot of people know that story.
Yeah, the whole story behind it. My daughter and I are both big Beatles fans. Did you get a chance to see 8 Days a Week?
You know, I did not see it. It was. There's a couple. There was another documentary at Sundance, in Toronto, called The Sixth Beatle. put the Beatles stuff out right now. But I heard it's pretty good. I have a friend that's a huge Beatles nut. And he really liked it, and he was a big fan of it. It's not in many theaters. I think it's only in a couple of theaters right now. But yeah, if you're a Beatles fan, there's a couple of documentaries that are on their way, including this one and The Sixth Beatle that I think you'll like.
And over at Fandango now?
Well, you know, we have some coverage from the Toronto International Film Festival that you can check out. You know, some stuff for the movies that are in theaters this week. I did a almost 30-minute interview with Kurt Russell.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. I saw the picture. That had been amazing.
That was really amazing. I'm actually putting it out in a couple of different parts because we have one whole part of our interview where we talk about Deepwater Horizon. He plays one of the guys in charge of that rig.
Oh, wow.
And when the explosion happened, his character was in the shower, taking a shower, and was literally blown out of the shower.
Wow.
So imagine this is where this guy starts.
Yeah. Yeah.
His journey. And I'm not going to tell you if you're not familiar with the story, I'm not going to tell you where his character ends up, but that's where his character started. And so we talked all about that. He had no idea anybody even died.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he was telling me. He says, I thought a pipe burst.
Yeah.
He said, I had no idea anyone even died. And so, and that's why he wanted to do this movie. So we talked a lot about Deepwater Horizon, but of course, we went back a little bit, talked about Big Trouble in Little China and The Thing.
Nice.
And Backdraft, Unlawful Entry. Well, went back and talked about a lot of his movies as a way to framework around the remakes and the sequels and the franchises, and told me about this television show he's working on with Mel Gibson and his daughter Kate Hudson. So all of
busy guy. Busy dude, yeah.
Busy guy, but that's a long-winded way of me saying go to Fandango.
Well, you're a busy guy, too, so we appreciate your time visiting with us, and we'll talk to you again next week. That's Eric Davis, managing editor out at Fandango.com. Good talking to you, sir.
You got it. Take care, guys.